Alan Wendy, who is standing by to give us a perspective. You know, with a little bit of hope, I can say to you, of course, Professor Tulio de Oliveira doesn't believe the Western Cape will see the same extent of a peak like we saw in Wave 2, because Wave 2 was so harsh for us. But I don't want that to get us resting on our laurels. So let's hear what Premier Alan Wendy has to say.
Breakfast with Refilwe Emolata
on Cape Talk.
Morning, Premier. I understand you're in a meeting, so you might have missed that very, very hard-hitting interview we just had with a former member of the Ministerial Advisory Committee.
Sorry. Hi, Refilwe.
Hi. Welcome back. Always great to have you on the show. But I you know, the bottom line is as follows. It's hectic. Gauteng is possibly unsalvageable in terms of the worst that will come, which will be, according to him, twice as bad as what we saw in the second wave. How are we prepared here in the Western Cape for what may be a pretty harsh third wave?
So obviously we have our advisory teams as well, our epidemiologists that are advising us. And we do that in the regard with our weekly Digicon and, bring the best that we can from all of these brains to say what is it going to be like. And of course, I think the hardest thing to do is to say to a specialist like that, tell us exactly what it's going to be like next week or next month, because it's very hard for them to give you an explicit answer. But that's why we've got to make then our decisions based on sort of a varied range of those kind of reports. They are saying to us still that they do not think it's going to be worse than last wave, but it could be as bad as the last wave or the second wave. Remember, the second wave in the Western Cape was twice as bad as the first wave.
Mm.
So it could be as bad as that. I remember being prepared for the second wave, and we thought it was going to be fine, and we got through it with 100 beds to spare.
Okay.
That was close. So again, you know, we've got to make sure that we are going to get through it. I look at the data every single day. You know, I look at the hospital beds. I look at the numbers. I mean, so it's not on our dashboard yet. It'll be loaded up today. But 1,284 hospitalized as of last night, 558 people in our public sector, 726 people in the private sector hospital beds. That's 558 in our government public sector hospital beds of around about 7,000 beds. We know that at this stage, we don't have to be doing what we were doing in sort of November, where I was phoning the president and saying to the president, I need to slow this down. I don't have enough. Oh, I can see in 2 weeks' time, we're not going to have sufficient hospital beds. Because that's really what we're doing, is we're making sure that we are prepared and that we've got a system to manage that preparedness, because you don't want to go over the top. If we go back to before we even had the first wave, let's learn from what happens in other parts of the world. Whatever we do, we must not run out of hospital beds. I don't want people lying in their cars in the parking lot because there's no bed in the hospital or in the passageways, as we saw, you know, a year and a half ago in other parts of the world. And I also don't want these coffins piling up and then every single thing that happens in between. Are we still applying exactly that to everything we do every single day? We need to protect the front line. We've never stopped replacing tanks, putting oxygen in place. We've kept the staff on board. Obviously the ask is a bit tougher right now because we've got frontline staff in our hospitals, but we've also got staff doing vaccines across the province. So it does spread us a little bit thinner.
Sure.
We've taken on extra people to do this. But it is all part of that planning. And then that says to us, okay, are we okay? What do we need to do? But then it's about a contract. I'll say a contract, but it's about an agreement that says, this is what we're doing, and we will be open about it. We'll be transparent about it. Every week I'll put it publicly on our Digicon where anybody can come and ask us a question, and every single day it will be updated on our dashboard. And, of course, now we've got a vaccine dashboard as well as a registration dashboard as well as the overall dashboard. Anybody can go and have a look at it. It gets updated every single day. And then we will have a look at what blunt instruments need to be used and when they need to be used.
Well, they don't have... they don't have to be blunt. So they don't have to be blunt instruments,
no, they
right?
Don't.
So one thing I do remember, you said you remember this time in wave 2, wave 1, One thing I do remember is, well, first and foremost, I need to commend you because your sense of urgency seems not to have shifted from December, and it hasn't shifted from last year. And that's not something I have a good sense of as a citizen. And where your sense of urgency continues to be heightened as it was in December, our sense of trepidation is not. We're not matching as a population.
Exactly right.
Everybody's exactly relaxed.
And I mean,
and I don't know how to.
Saturday, I'd finished what I was doing on Saturday morning, and then I said to my son, "Let's go and grab a cup of coffee." And we went down, and I went past some of these coffee shops around Cape Town, and it was as if there was no COVID whatsoever. I mean, they were packed. People were just doing their thing, and there isn't that sense of urgency.
Yeah.
And I mean, I listened. I didn't hear your interview now. I was in a meeting, unfortunately. But
no, that's fine.
I listened to a voice note from a nurse from Gauteng on Friday, and I mean, this nurse was in tears. And she was saying, please, I'm the one that has to look after your loved one when they are dying in this hospital. You cannot be here. And you are carrying on as if there's nothing, as though tomorrow. You're just carrying on, and I'm the one that has to deal with it. And she was in tears. You could see she was physically broken by the pressure that they're under at the moment.
So would you tighten the level in the Western Cape?
So, our numbers still where we are now. I'm going to probably have a discussion with the president a little bit later. I'm going to be in the port, looking at some of the port stuff. But we all talk about it. At the moment, I think we're okay. But again, I think the message must be, and I'll do it again this week, we'll reiterate that deal that we have. We will put the oxygen, the beds, the front line in place, but we need to have a deal with the citizens because that's how we manage this thing. And please just remember, avoid those crowded areas. Avoid, make sure that you're not holding spreader events. Don't. And everybody thinks that it's not going to happen to me. Well, I think that was the big shock in the second wave because it didn't take long until everybody knew somebody. And I must say that it's fast getting there now. People are now starting to say about this person, that person, this person staying at home. I mean, and we just have to follow the basic rules. It's not as if this is rocket science. This is very simple, easy stuff to do.
Couldn't say it better. Western Cape Premier Alan Wendy, thank you so much. Have a good chat with the president. Tell him we say hey. Have a good day. Cheers.